Hey, everybody. Before we jump into this episode, we here at Press X want to just let you guys know that we're aware of what's going on in Nigeria right now. And while there's not a whole lot that we can do, we can just continue to show support and spread awareness. And we are in full support of the NSARS movement. And we are thinking of our brothers and sisters over in Nigeria. So keep fighting and we're supporting you.
Power corrupts, absolutely, and that shit needs to stop.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But now, on a brighter note, welcome to the 41st episode of Season 4 of the award-winning Press X to Start podcast. Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games for everyone, and we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishanigawood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because I'll be watching niggas, a.k.a. Flute Cage. Because I'm not very good. Marcus Ellison.
There you go. I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Dad Choices, a.k.a. the nose on the mic. That's actually one nostril. I didn't do the full nose. Anyways, a.k.a. Did you psych dad joke time?
Oh, let's go. Snap.
Why didn't 4 ask out 5, guys?
Why?
Because he was too squared.
He was
too squared. Get it?
Oh, my God.
Get it? Jordan, why are you not laughing?
I don't know. I'm just, like, not caring. Which is an action.
Well, damn.
Y'all get it later on. It's fine. Y'all get it later on.
And back at it again, your boy Jordan, aka JXBot.
With the salmon colored shirt on. I like that. I like that.
That's the last shirt in the drawer. Actually, I did do laundry yesterday. I just didn't put them up yet. They're just in the dryer sitting there.
I got you. Yeah, be like that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like that right now. Am I wearing pants? We'll never know. Find on the next Press X to Ramble.
You're about to take care of some more laundry with a child on the way. Well, babies have diapers.
The baby's going to have a towel.
Oh, no.
No, your baby's going to be like in a full tuxedo all the time.
Three-piece suit, let's go.
A tuxedo child.
He's going to wear a jumpsuit with the Jamaican flag on it.
That's good. He or she, you don't know the gender of it.
That's true, right? That's true. He or she will be ready for carnival immediately.
Also, jumpsuits are unisex, so.
This is true, exactly.
Essentially, by June, like, you're going to be contemplating whether or not to play Thor Ragnarok or take your wife to the hospital.
This is true.
He'll be playing God of War Ragnarok on the way to the hospital.
I said Thor Ragnarok. Same thing.
Right. You did. But we got what you were saying.
Yeah, we got it.
But yeah, now that we're all introduced, we're going to jump into what we've been playing. And what you've been playing, Jordan?
For the last week and a half, I've been playing Rage 2. I'm just really trying to get on top of this game backlog, you know, with the Game Pass and everything distracting me in whichever way, you know, because I think probably not even this time last year, but winter or spring last year, I had, you know, talked about Rage 2 and how better it looks in nighttime settings than the daytime. And, you know, even though the shooting mechanics are pretty basic, you know, it's just a fine first-person shooter. And I am noticing that I've gotten to the point in the game that I'm familiar with where I stopped the last time. And I have like the same type of
fatigue
feelings about not playing this game anymore. But this time, I'm going to challenge myself and make sure to finish it before Watch Dogs Legion comes out on Thursday, which is currently downloaded to my hard drive. So,
what made you stop the first time?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's like, you know, I think I reached a point to which I've done every type of unique mission, and now it's a exercise of doing that same mission over and over and over again, and
see
like
the loop now,
different but still somewhat similar parts of the map.
Okay.
And even with the unique main story missions, I'm still just shooting everything in sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is.
Is that a bird? Boom.
Yeah. I mean, but it's fun, though. Like, we start to mix up the powers and the gunplay and stuff like that. You can really have, like, you know, pretty cool kill chains. Mm-hmm. You know, same way as
Doom.
Whatever that game was called. No, not Doom. Far Cry. Far Cry. Oh, okay. Far Cry had kill chains and unique ways of, like, dispatching entire groups of people.
Yeah.
Doom is, like, you're just shooting everything.
Well, shooting and sawing and sword slicing and other things and
stuff. But this game has different types of power. You have powers attached to your suit, like a smash power and a dash. And with Doom, you know, I got to go back and finish up Eternal because I finished the first Doom, but I got to go back and finish up Eternal. Doom is like very much so like you are the Doom Slayer and you kill everyone in front of you at a pretty loud.
I'm the problem here.
Playing. So, but that's what I've been playing.
So when you had mentioned Rage, I believe I said on the chat, oh, that's the one with the colors, right?
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So I remember when I watched the Rage 2 trailer. It was very like neon color and all that stuff. Does that kind of carry through? Like,
well, I said it only works at nighttime.
Oh, I get you.
During the daytime, it's still very difficult because like it's a weird mix of that early 2000s browning that the gaming industry went through. Like everything was either brown or gray or blue. But they wanted to.
Everything was brown except for the video game industry itself.
That's how the main character stood out, Marcus. What are you talking about?
I think as a game designer, Donald, you will notice they use a lot of magenta as a way to bring color out. And I think it's more effective than just red.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty smart way of making environments pop out more. But I still find myself squinting to find certain enemies when, you know, like you've killed so many, but like you can't wrap up the assignment unless that one dude shitting in the corner dies too. You know, so... That's what I've been playing.
I get you.
Okay. So, I have really just been playing Overwatch and Ghost this week. It's been a busy week for me. It's actually been a busy, couple of months. But for some reason, just, I didn't have much desire to do much but play Overwatch this week. But this morning, actually, I played Ghost because I was like, you know what? I haven't touched it since... I played multiplayer with DJ and Sean, which we'll get into in a second. And so I was like, all right, you know, I just want to level myself up a little more because I'm behind. But Legends, from my point of view, is a cool add-on. Was it needed? Not necessarily, but it was a welcome surprise.
Yeah.
I think that there is not... nearly enough variety between the four classes for me to justify the class system. Like, really, the only difference is the special moves that you get. That's kind of it. Because everyone can revive fallen characters. Everyone can do assassinations. Everyone can use the bow. It's like everybody can do the same things. But still, it's Ghosts. And that combat... You know, when you're not getting worked out, just feels sexy.
Yeah.
So sexy.
So, I will say that that's not... The whole, like, everyone does everything is not entirely true. I feel... Because, like, okay, so let me back up real quick. I've also been playing Ghost of Tsushima. I went from power level 35 to power level, 76 in the matter of...
Lord.
2 days.
Jesus.
And in those 2 days, I learned... a lot about the game that I kind of wish the game did a better job of explaining. So now to, you know, jump ahead to comment on what you were saying, Marcus, that everyone doesn't necessarily do the same thing. The Ronin is actually probably the most powerful character in the entire span of the four classes because it has an ability where you can heal. Like you can put down like a healing thing and it will heal.
Right.
Yeah. And then on top of that, like another one of its abilities is to summon the
spirit animals.
Yeah. Spirit dog or whatever. But you can upgrade that to a spirit bear.
Yeah.
Did not know about the bear part. So I'm a level 18 hunter. I actually started getting more epic drops. I believe last podcast we were talking about, you know, what's the experience going to be like once you start getting the better loot? And now that I'm getting, I don't have a legendary item yet, but the better loot actually does make a difference, like a big mm-hmm. difference. Like one of the drops I got is called like combat regeneration or something like that. And mm-hmm. it allows me to regenerate 50 points of health just normal, like without having to do anything.
Okay, so it's kind of like that one in-game talisman you get where, like, when you're not fighting,
It
just charges your health. I get you.
Yeah.
When you're resting.
Yeah, so one of the things that I got with the hunter was a longbow, and the skill was versatile, meaning that it can be used by any other character. And I kind of thought, like, why does that even matter kind of thing? And then I jumped off of the hunter and I started playing with the Ronin as soon as I got it because it's a thing that you just need because it's so great. And I noticed that I was getting different drops from the Ronin. And I didn't really get to explore too much because I just played maybe two or three games with the Ronin just to kind of see like how is that class different from the hunter. And you do actually feel a noticeable difference in terms of like for my hunter, I got like fire arrows off the bat just because I'm a hunter and they do a substantial amount of damage, but they do even more damage because hunters spec out for fire in a way, or you can spec out for fire. So because of that, I felt like, oh, using the bow works, but it's not as efficient. So it was like, shoot, I need to drop my, my spirit dog. And that was doing a lot of the ad control. Like it had people go towards it where I could like kind of pull back and
right.
kill people using my ghost weapons. And with the Ronin, you actually do more damage with your ghost weapons or whatever.
You're absolutely right. I think there is noticeable differences, but I still sort of feel like because my main class up until I just unlocked the assassin was the samurai, and I had fire arrows, I believe, from the beginning as well. And I just feel like, you know, outside of Ronin having like a latent healing ability, I still kind of feel like every character sort of the way that they presented the game at first, it was like you need these four people because everybody does something that maybe the other person can't. And when I was playing the game, like when I first started as a samurai, I was expecting, okay, I'm gonna have to walk up into every situation and call people out because I won't be able to do stealth stuff. And then I realized I could, and I'm like, oh, okay.
So, yeah, and I mean, I get that. I think the idea was to basically make every character work on their own, but the thing that makes them versatile is the ghost weapons that they have available right. to them. So like the assassin, I was playing with an assassin and I noticed that for some reason the enemies were attacking each other. And then I looked at the assassin had the blow dart. I was like, oh shit, you get the blow dart. Okay, that's awesome. So like, I think it's things like that that kind of separates the classes out. But I feel like, Well, I haven't looked at the assassin class, so I don't really know exactly when you get the blow dart, but it's one of those things where you have to spend time with the class to see how it's different from the others.
Right.
And I kind of wish that that was more in the forefront.
Exactly. I wish they would have, like, mapped that out more from the get-go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just, like, when we got a chance to play all together, that was...
Yep.
Hilarious. It was legitimately fun all the way through. And if you've seen our Instagram, we've uploaded some clips. I think it's like two clips of us playing together. And it led to one of the funniest things I've ever seen with us playing together where where Sean and I were on the boat during a survival not raid, but like a survival gameplay. And we were getting worked out and I revived Sean only for me to go down right after. And DJ was like, I'm on the way. And Sean realized I'm about to die. So he said, I'm going to go out like a G. And he started singing the song from Set It Off. He got killed like seconds afterwards.
Almost immediately. By the time I got there, there was two dead bodies on the ground. I'm like, oh no.
And like, that just became a running joke for the rest of the period of time we were playing. Like, I couldn't stop laughing at that. That was one of the funniest things I've ever experienced playing games with you guys. But overall, like, it's a good time.
Yeah, like, I totally agree. I think the mode is great for what it is. And even, Sucker Punch, they said, like, yeah, like, after the raid, we're pretty much done supporting the multiplayer side. Mm-hmm. So it is just, like, a hit and quit kind of thing. And it's just, like, they did really good for this. I kind of wonder how this is going to influence Ghost 2, because we actually know Ghost 2 is happening because they're actually hiring a narrative writer for it that has experience with feudal Japan. So,
which I'm
that's happening.
Not entirely sure how I feel about, but you know, I
think it makes sense. I don't think it's gonna end like, oh, Jin saves Japan's mainland too, because that doesn't make any sense. That's too much for him.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a firm believer of concrete endings. And if a story feels like we've hit a understandable off point for a character's narrative, I'm okay with not going back. I'm honestly okay with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to need Ghost 2 to like really justify coming back. So I'm going to have to wait and see when we get information about Ghost 2 to see where they're going with Jin, or if they're even going to be tackling Jin again. Because I feel like Jin's story, I'm okay with being done. But yeah, I guess they could technically make it about someone else who's influenced by the ghost. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
I think they can probably even rope in, what's her name?
Yuna?
The chick with the mask that, Yuna. No, not Yuna, no. The chick with the mask that you were
Tomoe?
Chasing after. Yeah. Because she goes to the mainland.
That's true.
And you do have a moment with her where you're like, you kind of talk to her and like,
yeah,
that kind of ends with, you know, them kind of having a mutual respect for each other, whatever. But like, that's a possibility. But on the other side of this, like, we have games like Last of Us 2, where Last of Us 1 ended with such a like perfect way. And then it was just like, we don't need a 2. They did a 2 and we're like, okay, this was actually a really good, like, sequel, so
that's what I mean, because I would have been fine with Last of Us being the only Last of Us game. So when 2 got announced, yes, of course, I was excited because Last of Us was my favorite game, but also I was like, do we need this? But I trusted Druckmann and Co. enough where I was like, all right, I'm sure they have a good reason for bringing this back.
Right.
That's how I feel with Ghost, where it's like Ghost felt like a good off point. If they're doing a 2, obviously they feel like they need to, but I'm like, I'm going to wait to see what this story is going to be.
True.
I'll say this much, though. If we get a Ghost 2 and Jin's back in it, he better clap Yuna's cheeks. I swear to God. I swear to God.
I will shoot someone. Okay, so besides Ghost, I, on a whim, decided to try out, thank you, Sean, for pushing me to get Stadia. I had joked about it on the chat. I was actually going to continue the joke, but I decided, you know, I'm going to be a dad soon. So, you know, I have to set the right morals and scruples. And anyways, so I actually got Stadia. I got the 30-day trial and I tried Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Thoughts?
Stadia is amazing. It is amazing. Like, I'm playing it on Wi-Fi on my office desktop, and I'm upstairs, the router is downstairs, and I maybe drop frames once for about like 5-6 seconds at most. And I was playing Immortals for about an hour and a half or so.
Oh wow.
And like, yes it's a single player game, we don't know how multiplayer is gonna go, but like,
right,
the experience was there. It was a very solid experience. Graphic wise, quality, it was there. Like, it wasn't 4K, but I don't know, it was like 1440 by 8, whatever. Like, it felt like a quality experience. Now, the game itself, guys, I'm going to compare this to Genshin Impact, because both games are influenced. Yeah, exactly. Both games are influenced by Breath of the Wild. I think when it comes to that influence, Genshin does it a bit better than Immortals. I think when it comes to that influence, Genshin looked at Breath of the Wild and was like, we love the exploration in here. We love the elemental system that is in place in here. And we want to take those two things and kind of create our own world and our own game from that. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to Immortals, they looked at Breath of the Wild and was like, oh, this was a very successful game. So we'll take this blueprint and make our own game from that. And I think Immortals is very surface level in terms of the inspiration that they take from Breath of the Wild. So they have the climb anywhere. Both Genshin and Immortals have the climb anywhere. Immortals has the stamina system, but I think that it fails when it comes to exploration. I don't think it does exploration nearly as good as Genshin Impact does. There was a couple times where, because I'm so used to the Genshin whole thing and just like, oh, there's a big rock over there. Let me go climb that rock. I climbed the rock and there was nothing on top of the rock. And I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot that this isn't Genshin.
Yeah, Genshin's like your grandma who will reward you for doing anything.
Exactly, like, exactly.
Have a piece of candy, baby. And I'm like, thanks, grandma. Whereas exactly. Immortals, like your uncle, is just like, good job on climbing that rock, nigga.
There's a bigger rock over there. Go get it. But so that was kind of one thing that I had issue with when it came to exploration for Immortals. The other thing is the combat. Actually, you know what? Before I go into combat, I'll talk about the story. The story is very well done. It is a, as you saw in the trailers, it is a thing where Zeus and, what's his name? Some Greek guy. I cannot think of the guy's name. He's trapped.
The god of what?
He's not a god. He's he bought, I think, Prometheus. Is it Prometheus? He bought human fire. Humans fire.
Yeah, that's Prometheus.
Yeah. Prometheus is telling Zeus a story and Zeus is changing the story on the fly. And basically the story that's being told is Phoenix and it's her story. So things are happening and changing on the fly. So during the demo, there's a thing where you get to a point and you see Cerberus and then it turns into a griffin. Then it turns into like a lion, then it turns to a chicken, then you end up fighting chickens. It's really well done.
That's actually funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But it's that thing where it's going to be really, really difficult for them to nail that every time without it becoming like, okay, this is going to happen again. Because there was a moment, there, like at the end of the demo, you end up fighting a Cyclops, but you unfreeze the Cyclops. Zeus starts pretending that the Cyclops is telling you this whole thing about the story and like your quest that you have to do and all this stuff. And then Zeus is just like, whatever, fight him. And it's just like, I wish that it didn't end with that, like, yeah, go fight this thing. I wish it ended a different way. But it's that thing where it's all very surface level. So it is like, yeah, this seems like thought out and stuff, but it kind of ends in the same way kind of thing.
They played their best card early, and then from then on, like you just realize, oh, it's going to be... It's like if Deadpool, like you see him break that fourth wall the first time, and then that's pretty much the only like catch here. It's like, oh, okay, cool. That's fine, I guess.
Right. Like, that being said, there are genuinely funny moments. Like, when you first run into a cauldron, the camera will, like, set right at eye level with the cauldron, and her head will, like, pop up from behind a cauldron. It's like, ooh, a cauldron, or whatever. Like, stuff like that is, like, it's cute, right?
Good and visual gags.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, for me, it felt like, oh, wait, this game might actually be built for kids. Mm-hmm. And, like, putting it in that context, it's like, oh, everything else kind of makes sense. Like the UI is very, very poppy, very colorful, very basic.
The visual style looks like a kid's game.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny like that I'm saying that, oh, that's built for kids, but Genshin Impact is not. But Genshin Impact is built off an established aesthetic like it's anime. So that's not necessarily for kids.
Yeah.
Anyways, this all goes to say that, like, narrative is great. Combat is a little hit and miss for me. They map dash to square, and that could be fine. That could be hit and miss, but they map combat to R1 and R2. So,
oh my, ew, what the?
Yeah. So you run into an issue where you are fighting someone, and no. You run into an issue where, in order to dash, you have to pull your thumb off. You pull your thumb off of the right analog stick, so you can't. It's hard for you to change your direction while dashing, and it's something as like. That seems very simple, but in the middle of combat, it's like, why was this the choice? Like, who is actually building the combat system?
I have never heard of somebody, or at least in this age of gaming, making the dash or the run option on the D-pad.
Yes. Yes.
Or on the gamepad.
It's little whatever. Things like that. That's like, that's a weird choice. Like, you can remap all your buttons, but it becomes very difficult because some buttons are used twice, like your dash is used twice because it's also a dodge. And the dodging is a little iffy because there is iframes, but it's really hard to tell what the iframes is. Or I think the pairing system might just be a little too, it's not as flexible as like Genshin's is.
Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff was just kind of a pain for me. But all in all, Stadia worked fine. Stadia was great.
Stadia worked great. Immortals was not for you.
Not for me. So
yeah. Well, at least you gave it a try.
True. Would you say, Jordan?
No, I say, what other games do you intend on getting for Stadia next?
I actually have no idea. I literally did it for Immortals. So I'm going to see what they have and kind of play around with it. But I did see there was a couple of games that I just can't think of the names right now. But I was like, ooh, that's interesting. I should check that out. So
are you going to go as far as to get the controller for it?
I don't think so.
For your television? I think that's what you need to have it for your television or something like that, right?
Yeah, like that and Chromecast Ultra.
Oh, okay. No,
but
thank you.
I don't know. I think I'd have to be really wowed by something that I can't get on the consoles for me to make that jump.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, because right now I don't see any incentive to get Stadia, especially not for my television.
Yeah.
And you're playing with your PlayStation 4 controller, right?
Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, that's it for me.
All right. Well, before we go any further, first off, we have been talking about a kind of side show that we're planning on doing called Press X to Ramble, and we did that over the weekend, and our first episode will be up very soon. DJ, do you know exactly when?
The episode will be out by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
It better be out by the time you hear this.
So, yeah, definitely look out for that. It'll be a fully video episode. We'll be talking about some fun stuff, and hopefully we'll be doing it going forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout for that. And now we're going to have a word from our sponsors.
Press X to Ramble. Why not? I mean.
Yeah, but we can't sponsor ourselves.
Yes, we can. Sponsor us. If you can masturbate, you can sponsor yourself.
I have no retort. Sponsor us, nigga.
Hey there. Enjoying the episode? Want to hear more? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have subscribed, great. Spread the word. Tell everybody. To follow us on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start. Twitter at PressX2S and YouTube now at PressX2Start TV. And if you've done all of this already, well done.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits.
All right. Number one, this comes from Engadget. Get ready to raid Ghost of Tsushima on October 30th. So, Ghost of Tsushima will be doing their raid, or they're going to be dropping their raid on October 30th. It's going to be a 3-chapter Tale of Io, where throughout the campaign, you are chasing this character, you kill disciples of Io or whatever, and the raid is, you know, fighting Io. It requires a key level of 100 to enter the raid.
Oof.
So what that means is you'd probably have to do silver and gold co-op campaign and survival in order to even get near that. I'm doing silver right now and I'm only at 76. So that's going to be a grind for anyone who wants to do the raid. Also, there is no matchmaking for the raid. So that's big old Destiny vibes right there. But the reason for that is because the raid is a longer experience. So I think it's like maybe 45 to an hour. I think that's what they said, like around that time.
Oh, okay.
And then on top of this raid, there's also going to be weekly challenges released every Friday. So these would be nightmare difficulty, two-player story missions, and four-player survival missions with various mods and tweaks. So that's cool. That's cool.
Well, yeah. I'm sure at some point, maybe, we'll get in on that raid together.
Yeah, this is true. But before we do that, Jordan, do you hear the knock on your door?
No.
No?
No one's allowed near my house.
Unfortunately. But from IGN, Microsoft sent Snoop Dogg an Xbox Series X fridge for his birthday. I was hoping you might get one too, Jordan. Sorry about that.
Yeah, my birthday was back in September, so I missed the boat.
Damn. Damn.
But it was a meme. I mean, this is, it's silly, you know?
It is silly.
I mean, you know
ridiculous.
What I thought? I'm such a homeowner. Like, I thought, you know, I was like, I wonder what the warranty on the refrigerator was. Yeah, so I was like, I wonder if that refrigerator came for warranty.
Oh, shit. But you know, the cool thing is that the internal lights of the fridge is green. So, yeah, that's cool.
I saw a Photoshop of it opened with one of the shelves being, I think, with PS5.
Oh, my God.
So you open it up. That gotta keep it cool.
Hilarious. All right. Number three. This comes from Tech Radar. Xbox Series X comes with a hidden button which doubles as an IR receiver. So, located on the front of the Xbox Series X and S consoles, next to the USB port, there is a tiny button which you use to pair your Series X controllers and other accessories quickly.
So, I was trying to look up whether or not the Xbox One or PS4 had an IR receiver and what the hell an IR receiver was.
So the IR receiver is basically just it's basically used for remotes.
Right.
Yeah. So, no. As far as I know, the PS4 doesn't have one.
So what Xbox has disclosed in the past was it was supporting older accessories from previous generations, being the Xbox One and the Xbox 360, and your ability to use those older controllers on the Xbox Series X console. Maybe this IR receiver is a way to facilitate that. I don't know. We don't know as of yet. But yeah, I mean, clearly it's a big enough deal to make news. So yeah. I would love to have two controllers. Well, I'm going to probably have like three controllers by the end of it.
But bigger news, Jordan. Bigger news. This comes from IGN. Halo, the Master Chief Collection, to get a free 4K 120fps upgrade on Series X and Series S. You going to play it again, Jordan? You going to play it again? Yeah, yeah.
Well, what happened when, what's that, Halo Infinite was pushed back. I mean, all this was leading up to Halo Infinite.
Right.
You know, like the re-releases of all the Halos on the PC, mm-hmm. Them being all available to you on Game Pass, all of it was in service for Halo Infinite to come out. I had recently played the Halo series over again just to do it.
But now you have to play it again, though, this time in 4K and 120fps. 120.
I probably do it summer next year before Infinite comes out again, which is fine. I mean, every time I do it, I enjoy it. True. You know, it's a good series, up to 5 at least. 5 is when it kind of goes off the rails.
Well, yeah, well, actually, 5 will not be getting these enhancements because I think
they're trying to throw 5 into the garbage bin. I'm totally fine with that.
But this is free for existing owners or those who subscribe to Xbox Game Pass. Fully optimized for Xbox Series X. This is just the same. Oh, so these upgrades are going to appear on campaign and multiplayer and split screen improvements. So that's cool.
So the upscaling for the Xbox Series X will probably only be 1440, not 4K. So yeah, the Series S is up to 1440. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's about how I can get it.
Oh, and then it'll also support cross-gen play and adjustable FOV, which is field of vision.
And if a TV big enough, you'd be able to exploit it.
Exactly. Number five. This comes from Hypebeast. Cactus Jack cross PlayStation 5 teaser video released.
A guy named Cactus Jack sent me.
Excuse me?
Yes, Cactus Jack sent me.
What's that?
So, Marcus, I believe you're the one that posted into the chat.
Look, all right.
Well, this explains why he had a control in the first place. Oh, by the way, whoever doesn't know who Cactus Jack is Travis Scott. That's what we're referring to. Straight
up. And this means one of two things. Either the Cactus Jack PlayStation 5 will come with a slab of bacon on it, or the controller will have an auto-tune feature. And if that's the case, I will buy it immediately.
Yeah, that would make me pre-order. I definitely pre-order. Yeah.
No, but seriously, though, like, honestly, that Cactus Jack McDonald's meal literally had no customizable features to it, but I'm assuming because it's a PlayStation 5, there will at least be a bigger push for, like, artistry here. So I'm imagining it'll maybe be a PS5 with, like, a really cool Cactus Jack, like, design on it. But I can't see there being anything else that's that special about it.
Or you know what? It might just be a customizable faceplate.
Yeah.
Because they do
that's
that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Number six, this comes from PC Gamer. The Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War Zombie Mode is PlayStation exclusive for a year. Oh, I missed that part. Dang, I did the news and I didn't even read that. Huh. Well, I mean, that actually kind of makes sense. They did that last year, or they tied Call of Duty with PlayStation last year.
It was with Black Ops 4, I believe. I think Black Ops 4 had a zombie mode that was a timed exclusive for the PlayStation.
So this zombie mode, when you think zombie mode, you kind of know what to expect. There are a couple little differences here and there with this. They actually have Leatherface and Jigsaw skins with this mode, this new thing. So people can run around as Leatherface or Jigsaw.
Are these two stories blended together? Because I think you're referencing Warzone mode for Leatherface and Jigsaw. And jump scare crates. That's Warzone. That's currently available in Modern Warfare.
Yeah. The zombie mode. Oh, you know what? You're right.
Because
right.
I'm seeing it says Cold War Zombies.
Yeah. I was blending the two together.
1, 2, 3 is a different story.
Yeah. So they're okay. So yes, that is different. Warzone has a Halloween mode where you get Leatherface and Jigsaw skins. They have a Halloween trick or treat kind of thing where if you open a crate up, it could either be a treat where you get something or a trick where it shows a very quick, like, image on screen as a jump scare.
Explodes.
That too.
Yeah. But, so they do these, like, little things to kind of reskin Warzone with this Halloween feel. And it's actually really cool. I haven't seen anything on it. It's kind of heard stuff. But I believe, Jordan, you said you watched some streamers do the stream.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty hectic, you know, because basically it is a numbers game. You know, the more effective you are in killing, the more consolidated the infected group becomes.
Right.
I don't believe an infected can kill off other infected, just other people. So Essentially there's duos and trios. If one of your group members do become infected, they're still on your team and they can, you know, help you out and dispatch other teams.
Yeah.
Except other infected. And they have the opportunity to come back if they collect up to 2 health vials. So when they do die as a zombie, then they need to be revived via supply station. Okay. Then you have to, you know, use money to revive them. But it's very quick. Every zombie kill drops an ammo crate and a self-revive.
Oh, wow.
And you essentially launch in with your loadout, the loadout that you died with. So, like, you're not really losing any time as the regular Warzone mode. And
interesting.
Yeah, like, people are racking up hella kills. Like, this one streamer I watched, you know, him and this other person were duos and trios, and they had gotten 27 kills while the other one got 29 kills. So, you know, it's hectic, man. It's like a hybrid of infected and Warzone, which is pretty interesting.
Okay.
Got you.
Cool. All right. So, next up, this comes from the Game Informer YouTube. So they've been doing a lot of Spider-Man coverage because I guess they shell out the money to get the exclusive coverage. And one of the things that they actually released was a video titled bringing the hero to life in Marvel Spider-Man's Miles Morales. So this was a video from, was Najee?
Yeah, Najee.
Okay, yeah. And then actually,
I forget his last name, though.
Okay. And actually, Marcus, you actually watched the video. I didn't get a chance to watch the video, so you can actually talk more about this.
Yeah, gotcha. Ever since they announced Spider-Man Miles Morales, Insomniac did kind of a questionable job of pinpointing what this game was. But once they kind of zeroed in on that and like letting us know this is its own thing and we're telling a story with Miles here, they've done a much better job of presenting the game to us. And one of the things they've done that's been really cool is spotlight Miles and his relationship with his best friend and his relationship with his community. And this video just further presents Miles with Najee, who some of you also may know as Sam from The Last of Us. And they just interviewed him about the process of, you know, when he found out about this game, which was actually at the launch party for Marvel Spider-Man, the first one. And, you know, the training that he had for the game, how actually Yuri, who is Peter Parker from Marvel Spider-Man, actually mentored him. So it's almost like they have a real life Miles and Peter Parker relationship, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I'd recommend checking out the video yourself because, like, his enthusiasm for the character is just infectious. Like, I was smiling throughout the entire video because he just is very passionate, clearly, about this character and bringing it to life and representation. And just, like, it's really cool to see. I'm hoping, actually, that this isn't the last Miles game that we get because just his desire to do right by the character and do right by the story is really awesome. So, yeah, I definitely say seek that video out. It's like, I think like 11 or so minutes. Or no, it's I think even shorter than that. So, yeah, it's worth a look.
Gotcha. Dope. All right. Number 8. This comes from IO9. On opposite of dope news from Spider-Man. Spider-Man's PS5 face continues to look creepy in selfie mode. A selfie taken in-game of Peter and Mary Jane, and it looks not great, guys. The face, Peter's face looks
disgusting.
Well, you know what? Okay.
Everybody disliked that.
It's like, you know, I think because we were so accustomed, because Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man PS4 was one of my top games of 2018. Mm-hmm. And because we were just so accustomed to the individual who was motion capping, that whose face was used for that game,
his face was motion captured.
So yeah, so like any types of changes like that will be met with some pushback.
The thing is,
not trying to say this is ideal, but
I agree with you, like sudden changes usually are going to be met with a certain degree of backlash, but the problem with this face is the fact that it's just not a good fit for what they were going for, because he looks younger now. Like,
yeah, he does.
He's supposed to be a grown adult and he looks like a kid.
It looks rushed. The actual design of the face looks rushed. Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's yeah.
Well, maybe they'll have a patch later on that will allow you. Seriously, that's what everything is now. Just patch it in later.
You know, normally you have the option to remove the helmet or remove the mask off the faces. In this, you can actually just leave the mask on the entire game.
So, funny thing, in Gear, like, this is not related directly, but it's like it's an entire situation. In Gears of War 5, you're able to play as Dave Bautista.
Yeah, I heard about this.
For the whole game. Yeah. If you choose to, as head of Marcus Fenix or, you know, his portrayal.
Guess I'm getting Gears of War now.
Yeah, so it's not. If you get Game Pass, you can get
there you
it.
Go.
But yeah, like it's not like a felt precedent that you know, you can have a different face for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next up is from Ars Technica. Amazon Luna is live and it's already out streaming Google Stadia. So this is real quick. I mean, the article was long, but you know, there's 50 games you get, it's $5.99 a month, and there's a clean interface and solid gameplay. I plan on probably just looking further into that a little later on, but is all that I got for right now. Number 10, last of the quick hits, comes from Screen Rant. Genshin Impact just had its most successful day ever after Klee launched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Klee is a new character banner. People are dropping serious money for this character. I follow a couple of streamers, and one of them posted this video talking about he spent $2,000 to get this character.
And that it's like ridiculous.
And the thing is, like, this is obviously bullshit. This is obviously clickbait because, like, he's a streamer. I'm not going to name him because it's kind of whatever. But, like, it's a thing where he plays other, you know, gacha style games. So it's not like he's new to this. It's not like it's a thing that has never been done before. So you have to understand, like, what the game is doing, what the game is trying to do, because it's a free to play game and it's trying to make money. So it's going to push you to try to spend money. But it's one of those things where it's just like, ah, okay, well, that's the thing. But
the only character I'm even willing to drop money on is Diluc. That's it.
See, that's true. Like, I got Jean, and I was like, oh, Jean's like a 5-star character. And I was like, oh, bet, cool. And I looked at her, and I was like, she's all right. But when I started playing, I was like, she's actually really good. But I got her from doing a single pull. So that's just spending 160 of the Primo Gems. Out of the, like, 1,600 that I had at the time. So I didn't spend any money. And it was just like, if I got something, great. If I didn't, that's fine too.
Right.
Like, whatever. But anyways, Genshin Impact was the highest grossing iOS game in 8 countries the day after it introduced the new banner character Klee, giving the game its best sales since launch day. That's awesome. Wow. That's, well, it's not awesome because the reason why they're making money is because they made the character kind of hard to get in the gacha system. So
you want to know what that means though, right, DJ?
Oh no.
Because it did so well, expect an email in the game with a whole bunch of shit.
That's true.
As a thank you.
That is true. That's one thing that I love about Genshin. It's like, hey, we did well, so we're going to give you shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that is it for the quick hits.
All right, and now it's time to move on to the heavy hitters. Take it away, Jordan.
So Xbox is still trying to be as loud as possible the weeks leading in to its release in November. And I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start hearing more from the PS5 as people, the embargoes begin to be lifted. But for the time being, Phil Spencer is still making his media rounds and being very cagey and quiet about their master plan of completely taking over the video game industry. the billions of dollars that they have secretly hidden away that's, guarded by Smaug or whatever. But no, seriously, this is what we kind of commented on. I keep on going back to Cameron's basement. Like that conversation that we had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In regards to, like, the future of gaming and cloud based and people streaming content, it's in hyper mode right now, given the circumstances where we are with the pandemic. But so Phil Spencer had stated that there's a possible xCloud style streaming stick in the future, that coupled with a new type of Game Pass, as Xbox does have subscription-based systems at certain tiers that gives you access to your consoles on a monthly payment schedule. So it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility that this stick may be attached to their new Game Pass subscription models. In my honest opinion, I've always viewed the Xbox Series S as a prototype for sale. It seems like the first device that's going to be streaming, mainly streaming, available to the public, and they're going to continue making it smaller and smaller, to which it will become a flash drive. And as a last point of this, Donald, you were right, and I'll tell you this, you were right.
What?
About connectivity and streaming. Because currently I have, like, in my living room a Fire Stick attached to my my television, and it's only able to stream in at the best 1440p. But I need to have better upload speeds for that to work.
Right.
In that part of the house. If it's in my office where my router currently is, I don't have a problem.
Right.
But because this is a different part of the house, I don't have a booster down there. I need to, you know, settle, first world problems, settle for 1080p, right. Like a caveman.
Like a second class citizen, how dare
you. But yeah, no, like this is all a part of the master plan of being ahead as possible with the streaming market, which has become more and more available to people.
Yeah.
Especially those that don't want to do the consoles at all, to be honest.
Right, right.
It opens up a whole avenue of gamer. It expands to that cell phone market, in my opinion.
It does, it does. I think, like, the best case scenario, you do open up your markets to a ton of people who don't want to spend the money with a console, but will, you know, sit in their living room and do this whole streaming stick thing. Yeah. But that's best case scenario, and America has not been best case of anything
in
a while, so...
Yeah, but I mean, accessibility-wise, I think Xbox has, and I kept talking to myself about how Xbox is going to be able to convince the Justice Department whether or not they are becoming monopolistic or breaking any type of antitrust laws.
Yeah,
it's the gateways. That's their response. They're going to say, okay, we do own Bethesda, but it's not gated within the Xbox Series X. It's available via streaming, PC, cell phone. So that is their response to, I think, like soon to be questions made when the Bethesda purchase is finalized next spring.
And really and truly, they could just be like, yeah, but like we're also releasing games on other platforms too. Like
correct.
We're releasing Deathloop on PlayStation. So like they could, they yes. could go to that and, you know, that mm-hmm. could bolster their argument, but I don't know. We'll see. Well, you know what? We will see if the rumors are true about them buying another studio. And
we will
see.
We'll see.
We have bought EA. What the fuck?
We have bought Sony PlayStation.
We are happy to announce that Sony PlayStation has
the biggest merger since Disney has eaten Fox.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Like all the PS5s, the light changed from blue to green. Like, oh shit.
Bunch of Xbox employees with gravity hammers from Sony's Santa Monica.
They've taken over the Sony mandated Gundam.
But adjacent to this, and this would be shorter, the Xbox app has gone live. This is outside of the Xbox Game Pass, mm-hmm. which Microsoft is subtly renaming to as just Game Pass.
Yep.
It's kind of like PlayStation Remote Play, but better because Xbox has the necessary cloud servers and infrastructure to do it properly.
Yep. You're not wrong.
So basically, and I tried this, and I don't know how I feel about it. This is just me personally, mm-hmm. not about the technology itself. The technology works well, but unlike the cloud gaming, and within Game Pass, this one is actually having your phone interface itself with your console. So you might be on the road. If your console is connected via Wi-Fi or hopefully via Ethernet, to be honest, mm-hmm. I think most people want to have their consoles connected via Ethernet cable to their routers. It will send a signal to your Xbox to turn on. You're able to manage your storage. You're able to manage your saves. You're able to access all the content that you would if you were actually physically there using your Xbox One and play your game remotely. So, I mean, it's kind of clunky. At least the interface of it is kind of clunky, but I think it's more reliable than the cloud service, than the xCloud currently.
Breaking news. The project manager of Google Stadia liked our last post on IG about I posted playing Immortals Phoenix Rising on Stadia.
And he tell him to sponsor us, nigga.
Well, he looks like a white man, so I'm not sure if that's gonna go well.
I said what I said.
He quickly removes the like.
As a final point, this is the workaround for allowing people to use Xbox products on their iPhones and their iTablets.
Yep, yep.
So
that's exactly what I need them to do. So
Microsoft found a way. They did it.
They had the money. They had the drive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they had the money and capability to do so.
Right.
So
that's all I had.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Our Puerto Rican queen, AOC, streamed Among Us on Twitch and got one of, I think, the third most watched Twitch streams ever with 439,000 concurrent viewers.
That's wild.
So, you know, that's unsurprising considering who she is and how big of a deal the fact that she would be streaming on Twitch would be. I'm not surprised that it had a lot of people. But to add to the fervor, she was joined by...
I was going to say, she has... Because I actually followed her on IG after watching... Because I watched some of the stream. I followed her on IG after that. And she has like 7 million followers on IG. And I was like...
Yeah.
She's a very popular politician.
Yeah, I knew she was popular, but I didn't realize she was like that popular. I was like, oh.
She's a millennial, so she's able to use social media fairly easily.
She is...
Hell yeah.
She is one of the most social media marketable politicians that I've seen in a very long time.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, to add to the fervor to view it, she was also joined by popular streamers like Pokimane, Moist Critical, Hasanabi, and she was joined by fellow U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar. Yeah. So, like, there was a lot of, you know, big names joining her, who was already a big name on this stream. And surprisingly, most of the stream was just a regular video game stream. Like,
yeah,
she brought up, you know, the importance of voting maybe a couple of times early on. She had some British streamers explain the joys of the NHS, which is UK's publicly funded healthcare system. Mm-hmm.
The national health system.
Yeah, she made a joke about how it's okay for people to call her AOC except for Mike Pence.
Got him.
But outside of that, it was really just a normal video game Twitch stream. And frankly, I think that's awesome. AOC is one of the few political figures that I've seen, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that she's a millennial, that can easily come off as a normal human being. Yeah. Like,
she's very genuine.
They said that this was, at least in terms of, like, you know, politics in general, politics in America, a pretty interesting turning point in how politicians can communicate with, like, the expectations of how they can communicate with constituents.
Right.
And usually video games are kind of a... Like, it's difficult to translate video games to older people.
Yeah, right.
We are a generation that's becoming more and more prominent in, you know, the policy making of this country, that our realities, our ontology is being translated to Congress. You know, like, what's your gamer tag, Congressman Scalia?
Right.
You know, like, what's what's your handle? What's your handle, Mike Pence? Like, we can ask those questions now.
No, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as the kind of boomer generation is sort of being phased out and millennials become more and more prominent, it is going to change the face of political engagement. And I think by the time we have our first ever millennial president, whenever that'll be, like, I think that that will really see a big shift in the way that they reach out to voters and engage their constituents.
But on the flip side of all this, I feel like she's in a fortunate position where this works for her. I guess looking at it, like, I couldn't see, not to draw lines, but I couldn't see, like, a Republican doing something like this.
Well, that's the thing, though. Based off of what...
Go ahead.
Based off of what we've seen from general Republican candidates, yeah, I can understand why you couldn't see that.
Yeah, exactly.
But
all
it takes is a millennial Republican candidate that is actually, you know, like, the two-party lines, you know, everybody has their idea of what each is, but, like, at the end of the day, it's just belief systems, and there are Republican streamers, I'm sure. Like, I think that the moment we get more millennial candidates, I think it'll be a different viewpoint, you know?
Right.
I'm very curious to see what that'll look like.
I guess just to explain myself a bit further, what I mean is I feel like, because like I sat and I watched the stream, and like she streamed for like 3.5 hours. I didn't watch all of it, but it was just her genuinely playing the game. Like when she first started playing, she was like, I don't want to be the imposter. I don't want to be the imposter. And then the first game, she was the imposter. She's like, oh, damn it. And it was just like, that's cool or whatever. But like, I feel like, you know, if it was like a Republican, especially now, it's just like you're watching this and you're just like, oh, this person's fucking up our country. And
I feel like, go ahead. I do understand what you're saying. And I don't know, like you might find conservative streamers, you know, running. I mean, streamers with conservative viewpoints that, you know, want to keep their policies separate. And their gaming experience separate.
Yes, right.
In terms of a conservative politician, I can't think of any conservative politician under the age of, like, at least in Congress, under the age of 40.
Right. But
to be honest,
but I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying is just like, I feel like if it is like a millennial Republican that has a following that does this, I actually just wonder how well it would do. I guess that's my thing. It's just like,
yeah,
will they still be able to get that same draw that AOC did? Or at least something similar.
My bad, Marcus, you go.
I was just saying that's under the assumption that it is a Trump variety of a Republican. You know, like we don't know like exactly what a millennial conservative or Republican candidate would even look like. You know,
Tommy Lauren.
There are millennial Republicans out there that some would surprise you, some wouldn't. But
right, and
I think what DJ you're trying to say is like, how effective is this style of reaching out to constituents or interacting with constituents would be for a Republican millennial? And I don't think there's that much of a change. Like, okay, so you have the Republican millennial politician, and they would consolidate a group of Republican millennials. Like, that's just how it is, you know? There's not that much really to think into it. Now, it will be difficult in terms of numbers because, you know, conservatives are, you know, their median age tends to be older.
Right.
Than their polls,
I think
so.
That's what I'm getting at. It's just that, like, their base will most likely support that person streaming or whatever. But I just feel like I don't think the wider audience would accept it as much as AOC playing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do agree with that, you know. And then also, you know, I think we need to do away with the two-party system anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Mm. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, one party. Everyone for Klee.
I am the president of the Klee Party. But
there's so many parties out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it is dominated by two.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, yeah. Like, we haven't. I think we've only had one president that was outside of the two-party system.
The only person that's running outside is Noam, because outside is a shitty day. This has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. In case you miss any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at PressXNumber2Start.com. Until next time, you guys will be talking about Legion, won't you?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Uno out.